Any initial firewalls and caps are in place so that there is adequate accountability and that everyone is sure that the money is specifically for the projects that it's put forward to and that there aren't cost overruns and that type of thing. So on behalf of the City of Santa Clarita, I appreciate your consideration of our comments.
Thank you. Kimberly Richards, followed by Eric Roman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, directors. Kimberly Richards, Public and Legislative Affairs Director, Southern California Transit Advocates. At a recent meeting, our membership voted unanimously to support Los Angeles Mayor Villaraigosa's 3010 initiative. Measure R was something we easily supported because we have long believed in a multimodal system. What is lost in some of the rhetoric is a strong rail backbone strengthens the bus network, not weakens it. By accelerating these 12 projects and their construction into a shorter time frame, we build a full network of transportation service where bus and rail work together to move people to their jobs, to their errands, to school faster than can happen today. This is a jumpstart moment, and we urge the board to support Mayor Villaraigosa's initiative. Thank you.
Eric Roman, followed by Dr. Clyde Williams.
Good morning, board. Eric Roman from the Bus Riders Union. So among the many problems with the 3010 plan is that it exacerbates and accelerates the problem of building rail that you don't have money to operate. If there's any operations crisis in this agency, that's it. According to your own staff's estimate, just the first section of the subway to the sea, western to westwood, will cost $45 million a year to operate. But Measure R's 5% rail operations will only get you $35 million. That's only one half of a dozen projects under 3010 that you have no money to run. You strive for good financial stewardship of this agency. At the same time, you're knowingly exacerbating your operations crisis, creating a situation where you have to raid bus funds to run these rail projects once they're finished. The kind of overt mismanagement makes your cries about a bus operations deficit hollow and your civil rights credibility sink fast. So if that's what 3010 promises for bus riders, we say no. I would also like to point out that Supervisor Antonovich in his statement last night mentioned this exact problem and his concerns about this 3010 plan.
Thank you. Dr. Clyde Williams, followed by Clint Simmons.
Dr. Clyde Williams, 4115 Barrett Road, El Sereno, Northeast LA. Yesterday in City Council of Los Angeles, they looked at a 3010 transit initiative, but now it's a 3010 initiative. Why? Because something has happened. We don't know exactly what. So, yes, highways are there. We have them already. We don't have a lot of transit already. So as I sit at my bus bench and watch the cars on Huntington Drive coming from the San Gabriel Valley, and I count the number of people that have more than one occupant, less than 10%. If you took half of those and put them on better buses and or a transit along Huntington Drive like there used to be, it would greatly improve the transportation facilities. So there are highways already there that are not being used because there's not adequate buses and there's too much easy parking downtown. So change the parking and the buses.
Thank you. Clint Simmons, followed by Mary Ann Parada.
Yes, my name is Clint Simmons. I'm representing Expo Community United. I see everyone is all excited about the 3010 program, but we have another project here within the MTA area. That is called Expo Line Phase 1. This is the same organization that turned down federal New Start money to make the Expo Line Phase 1 a safe transportation system, but you chose not to do it because the Expo Line, how it is constructed, it runs right through the heart of the minority community, and therefore the safeguards and safety has not been put in there. Whenever you turn down New Start money, it is difficult to get federal money to promote and finance any other projects, specifically when there is an ongoing environmental justice suit that is taking place. There's also other states and counties within the United States that also will be looking for transportation money. And if you think L.A. can sit here and get the money after what they have done, specifically on the Expo Line Phase 1, I think is utterly ridiculous. It is more of a racist type of a line than anything else. There's no money. No one is talking about improving the Expo line, specifically Phase 1, to make it safe for the people who ride it, as well as those of us who live in the area. And if you think you,
thank
that
you,
we're going to back.
Thank you. Mary Ann Parada, followed by Judy Bergstrassen.
Mary Ann Parada, South Pasadena. Take this SR 710 extension out of the 3010 initiative, because the 710 studies will certainly not be even finished in 10 years. In 2003, MTA and Caltrans began studying a tunnel option for the 710. Here we are close to fiscal year 2011, almost 9 years later, and still beginning to do in-depth studies. The surface freeway EIR took 25 years to finish, which included four supplemental drafts, until it was rescinded by the feds in the year 2003 as inadequate and outdated. By the way, the estimated costs of the tunnel have accelerated from $2.6 billion to $5 billion to $6 billion, and recently to $11.8 billion, according to Skaggs figures. So it'll take a lot longer than 10 years. Thank you.
Hi, David.
Thank you. Judy Bergstrassen, followed by Arnold Sachs.
I'm not a transportation expert. I'm just a resident of a community affected by the 710. I would like to echo Mary Ann's comments. I feel that the 710 is not even remotely ready to be funded. It still doesn't have a location, a technology, any kind of environmental impact statements. It's absurd to think about including it. I'd also like to ask you on the board not to let the need for jobs blind you to the content and quality of what we do to make those jobs happen. More crime makes more jobs for cops. It's not always a good thing. And I'd also like to ask you to please watch over our money carefully. I don't want to see us paying for Ron Tudor's limousines anymore.
Thank you. Arnold Sachs, followed by Sean Murphy.
Thank you again. Arnold Sachs. A couple of problems with this. One of the speakers mentioned infrastructure banks, an immediate red light, because have you read any news about banking lately with what's going on? And you're going to have a bank with MTA, a guardian, maybe a lockbox for the funds, a la DWP. Yes to Measure R, call to action, more like a call for help. You've starved this county for any transit for 20, 25 years. Back when you were doing the blue line and the red line first being created and discussed, I imagine you were talking about, well, we'll leverage this project because we'll build another project with the money that we get from leveraging that project. Now we have the Popeye plan, or excuse me, the Wimpy plan. We'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. Give us money today and we'll pay you back, because we can guarantee it, because look at our history. Look at the blue line. Look at the red line, the original red line. Look at what we've accomplished.
Thank you. Sean Murphy, followed by John Walsh.
Good morning, MTA. Good morning, MTA board. I'm for this project. I'm from this project, and it should move forward. I will be celebrating my birthday on Saturday. I don't want to wait 30 years for this project to go through. I don't think anybody should wait. I'd like to see it in my mid. I'm going to be 56 in the year 2020. I'd like to see it be completed by then, not when I'm 76. Thank you.
Thank you. John Walsh.
So what motion is that then? Where's that coming from?
John Walsh, quick survey. How many white people took public transit to get here? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 out of 300. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you what happened when the mayor, see the mayor's he's on his way around. I don't know where he's going. The mayor, Obama, tried to stay away from the mayor. He brushed him off. He ran away. Finally, the mayor runs up to him in the tarmac and apologized for the right-wing gay heckling that went on there. And he said, oh, by the way, can I have $10 billion? And you know what the president said? I'll think about it. Now, although he's out of the room, you know, if you can't stand up to me, you're not going to be able to stand up. Where is I would like to give the mayor right now a copy of the recall petition. He's being served officially. I am a circulator officially. I've written his name and everything here. I want him to be the first person, first mayor, to recall himself. Sign the documents.
Mr. Walsh, Susan Bolin.
Come back now.
Mr. Walsh, relax, please.
You can come back now.
Susan Bolin, followed by Dennis Woods.
Oh, how I love to follow John Walsh. On Tuesday, I did sit down and I listened to the mayor's State of the City address, and I listened to what he had to say, and I was really kind of hoping he would listen to me today. And he talked about green technologies, and he talked about energy efficiency, and that is something that I want too. The group of people who are against the 710 proposal to extend it northward are for green technologies. We want alternative modes of transportation. We want to move people and goods by rail. We don't need more highway projects, if only to fix the problems of moving traffic in our city. So while the 3010 initiative sounds good on paper, I do have severe concerns about bypassing the regular procedures. And what I mean by that is, of the 12 projects, only two are shovel ready to go. Many of the projects under Measure R are not ready to go, and I beg you to consider that.
Woods. Dennis Woods, followed by Damian Jones.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, directors. I'm here representing the City Council of the City of South Pasadena. The City Council of the City of South Pasadena opposes the inclusion of the SR 710 North Extension in the 3010 plan. The City Council does support the efforts to implement Mayor Villaraigosa's plan to accelerate 30 years of transit projects into 10 years. The 3010 plan would leverage about approximately $13 million dollars approved by the voters for 12 transit projects and expedite construction and bring jobs and environmental benefits to L.A. sooner. We cannot, however, support the inclusion of the SR 710 North Extension, as it is not a defined project, and the cost and benefits of building the expensive freeway have not comparatively been analyzed. Additionally, the City Council does not believe that the building of additional freeways promotes sustainability, improves the public transportation system, reduces vehicle miles traveled, or improves environmental quality. Thank you.
Thank you. Damian Jones?
Good morning. Damian Jones, representing the Santa Clarita Valley Chamber of Commerce. I'm here today representing the Chamber of Commerce. The Santa Clarita Valley is a tremendous economic engine for the County of Los Angeles. The Valley supports a number of industries, including biotech, aerospace, and the film industries. I'm here today to testify in opposition of the 3010 plan. Although the basis of this proposal makes sense, it is arbitrary in its selection of the 12 projects that are the focus of this plan. The Chamber believes that for the 3010 plan to move forward, there must be the inclusion of a mechanism where road and highway infrastructure projects can be considered for funding, as is outlined in the Dubois-O'Connor Amendment. There is merit to this proposal with the changes I have just indicated, but as it currently stands, the Santa Clarita Valley Chamber of Commerce cannot support the 3010 plan. Thanks very much.
Thank you. I don't have any other cards on this item from the public, so I'm going to go to... Directors? Yes, let's make a motion and let's make sure we're clear if the Du Bois O'Connor amendment is folded in, just so anyone following.
The Du Bois O'Connor.
Will that be made separately?
That was adopted in the Planning Commission and is already part of the main motion here. So
okay, so that is part of it currently.
Yes, that is already included there. And I will move that as it came out of the Planning Committee with the Du Bois O'Connor amendment already in.
Okay, included. Okay. Is there a second to that? Okay. Director Antonovich.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a verbal direction to our CEO that he would make a report in 60 days to by June 30th, an operating plan that demonstrates assumed revenues, expenditures, service levels, impacts to bus service, supporting infrastructure costs and other cost revenues should the 3010 initiative is successful in accelerating all Measure R projects, securing federal funding for the MTA and long-range transit plan, federal transit priorities by 2020, an assessment of institutional infrastructure and policies that would support the simultaneous construction of all projects over the next 10 years, whether the 30-10 initiative is fully successful, partially successful, ultimately unsuccessful, to ensure that MTA implements these transit projects successfully, on time, on budget, with appropriate oversight, and a presentation of what firewalls, budget caps, and or other fiscal protections would be implemented to ensure the acceleration and measure our projects through the 30-10 initiative does not negatively impose upon other project budgets and implementation timeframes and priorities as approved by the long-range plan or program uncommitted funds in the long-range plan without full board discussion and approval.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Do you have a copy of that? Director, so I, yeah, I know it covered several.
No.
It's a promotion?
It's a verbal directive.
Oh, verbal directive. Oh, okay.
No, I'm just, because we have a motion on the floor, I was just clarifying. It's
okay.
Verbal direction to the CEO. Okay.
Second.
Mr. Chair,
let's get a response.
I'll be happy to do that. In fact, building on that, we'll do the best we can for the 60 days from now. But I think we would.
Hey, Mike? Mike? He's answering.
We'll follow up on the directive. And I think what we'd like to do is come back to the board every 60 days.
Okay.
As this notion is developed and the filled in.
Director Ridley Thomas, then Director Du Bois.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. In the interest of what I would hope to be a unanimous embrace of item 33, permit me to make the following amendment on behalf of Director Antonovich and myself, and the entirety of the board should have this. We move that the board direct the CEO to ensure that the 30-10 initiative supports one, public-private partnership, opportunities in project planning, design, delivery, and operations, and two, the priorities unanimously adopted by the Metropolitan Transportation Board in the October 2009 long-range transportation plan. Okay, Mr. Chair, I think that's consistent with the previous amendment and the main motion as it stands, and my hope is that this will garner what's required for us to have a unanimous vote and make the kind of statement that will go forth and accomplish the stated intention of 30-10. Thank you.
Okay, let me go to the maker of the motion because it addresses the motion, and will you accept that as a friendly amendment?
Yeah, no, I'll accept that as a friendly amendment. So.
Okay.
We'll incorporate those 2 points.
Yes.
And I appreciate, I just wanted to thank, you know, Director Ridley Thomas and Antonovich and Du Bois and O'Connor for the number of the issues they raised and willingness to work with us on making this happen. So thank you.
Director Du Bois.
Yes, and right back at you, if I may. I appreciate
right
the cooperation that we got from all the folks. I think it's a noteworthy time. As you look at the motion on item H, on page 2 that I have with a recommendation, it talks about 12 projects. That needs to be changed to include the total number of projects that we're talking about, and I don't have that number. So,
you're incorporating the highway element.
Right, because that's what we did. So the whole thing needs to be shown by the number of.
Just understand that. She's referring to paragraph H on page 2 of the actual motion, where it references funds for the planned 12 projects adopted in the 2009 LRTP. And her 33.1 to Du Bois O'Connor motion expands beyond just the 12 transit to all highway projects.
Mr. Chair, maybe if we just strike the language. Or the 12 projects, and just make it planned, projects planned in the adopted LRTP.
Perfect. If that.
So it would read, basically, planned, projects planned in the adopted LRTP.
Does
So the 12 comes out.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's,
I think we'll.
That's fine.
Can we just
clean up? Clean up item. Will the maker of the motion adopt that?
What?
I think that's reference to the funds that we may anticipate, right? Yes, that's my understanding.
No,
that's not.
Okay, I'm trying to clarify. I'll tell you why. What I want to get clarified. 3010 is designed to fund 12 projects, and
come on, come on.
It's designed to 12, and we've stretched a lot to try and get all 12 in, and we're told often that if you made it 10 instead of 12, it'd be easier to fund. I said, I'd rather try and find 12 than go back to my board. So I'm concerned, the only thing I'm concerned is if we're making that 12, 14, 16, whatever it is, the 3010 funding mechanism won't work for that in that same way. And I don't think that's, at least that wasn't my understanding what we were trying to do. I just want to make sure, because I think what we're trying to say is that, you know, 3Ps, aggressive work at DC to get highway projects accelerated, we're all part of doing that. And I think we're all committed to doing that in the sense of this motion. But the 3010 funding rubric is based on the amount of money available for transit capital outlay. And only transit capital outlay. That's the only thing it takes into account. If, for instance, and I was going to say, for instance, if we were able, if, you know, if it was going to be all the projects, including all the highway money, it would be, you know, you could fund this through different mechanisms.
Right.
So, and I don't know, so that's my question. So which are we trying to do there? That's, you know.
I guess I was just trying to, get the numbers with the motion. And the motion was that we include the highway projects in the initiative.
The support in Washington is clearly at this point for transit projects.
Mm, okay.
The emphasis on both Capitol Hill and in the White House from all the meetings we've had has been on the transit side. I think that speaking for myself, and I think the folks who've been supporting 3010, we will also support, as we said, you know, the use of 3Ps. We will also support, you know, the MTA lobbying team aggressively going after, you know, money to accelerate the highway projects as well in DC. It just may be a different funding mechanism than 3010 itself, because 3010 is confined to those 12 projects, but we're willing to put the same effort in Washington on 3010 and help do the highway piece as well. Is that?
And so I guess it's just you're telling me it's a case of how you label it?
Well, I think it's a case of what we actually have here are two initiatives, and this motion, I think, is board approval to go after both initiatives. One's called 3010 because it's been those 12 transit projects, and the other is if you want to call it an accelerated highway program, you know, those are, I mean, I'd categorize them that way. And that we're going to aggressively pursue both in D.C. But the 3010 funding mechanism is built around those 12 transit projects and transit dollars only. And there's some funding in D.C. that's more accessible to transit than highway and vice versa. So that's why this was focused as highway, as transit. But I think what I'm trying to say is, you know, we're more than maybe a better way to do it would be that, you know, MTA is going to aggressively pursue accelerating 3010 and accelerating the highway projects.
Just so it's clear, we have.
And my understanding from my trips to Washington, and folks realize that we're going through uncharted territory. Right. Here. No city ever in the history of mankind.
Not city, county.
A county. I'm sorry, Mr. Antonovich. No county and board has ever gone to, and I'm sorry, I associate because the plan was generated from the mayor's office, has ever gone to the federal government and said, we want this sum of money
up front. In all likelihood, if we start to get traction, it looks like we're getting traction, the federal government is going to not just give us a bundle of money. They're going to make sure that this money is earmarked. It's like buying a house. They're going to give you a mortgage. They're going to give you the funds to buy the house. They're going to want to know what house it is, where it's located, what shape it's in, can you operate it, et cetera, et cetera. So much of this is going to be dictated by the federal government and the DOT and many, we're hoping many other agencies as well. And the plan, and I understand your motion, is that when we go to advance our projects, it's not only transit, but it's highway as well. And in any agency, in any fund, in any manner that we can obtain money for highways as well as anything else that's listed in our long-range transit plan in that appropriate allocation and priority. Am I understanding that correctly? Is that a fair?
No, I think it's a fair characterization. I'm trying to figure out, you know, it may be, I mean, obviously the point in item 8 is that by building these projects today, they'll cost less than they will
Understood.
If we wait 10 or 20 or 30 years. That's the answer to, Zev was asking that question. That's the answer to part of it. And it may be the way to do this is to, just, if you scratched out, actually, the amendment, part of it, if you scratch out the 12 projects and just say planned in the adopted 2009 LRTP,
right.
I think that covers everything. It allows, you know, both to go forward without trying to get, I'm
trying to just use the 3010 initiative. There are other.
Right. I think if we just take out the words, for
fine.
The 12 projects, and just say planned, or planned for, planned in the, or available funds just for inflation, planned. Yeah.
I got 12. That's what I did and thought we were fine. And then
it was something you said after that. But if you just take it out, I think we're fine because then it goes back to the LRTP. And 3010 does its thing and the advancing the highway does its thing. And we cover both and our lobbying team and board members are free to go back now and work on both in Washington and try and pursue both. New Starts, for instance, is part of 3010. That can only be used for transit, can't be used by federal law. So I think this gets in the inclusion that you were trying with your motion that, you know, we're happy to try and meet you on. So
I just want to see full support for the whole sector.
Director O'Connor.
And that number 12 does have some meaning, though, for the transit projects. So the transit component of this are those 12 projects, which somewhat creates a baseline of what the Measure R transit projects is described in Measure R ordinance and expenditure plan. But, you know, so this is the baseline. And part of it, what we've heard today, too, in the discussion is that we're not building individual lines. Well, yes, each line is built individually, but it is part of a system and network. They have to connect. We have to keep our eye on that. This is an integrated network going forward. One of the things I'd like to add and get report back from staff on, too, is that to look at the accelerated timeline schedule, I mean, they're ambitious goals, but I think we do need to have an analysis and for staff to return to the board with a timeline parity acceleration analysis. Again, reflecting the goal of geographic equity for all the subregions. So we've defined those projects, and let's get a little bit more information again about that timeline parity as we accelerate, and if that could also come back to us, that data, information, analysis.
Director Fasano.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I want to compliment my colleagues for the motions they brought forward. I want to compliment the mayor for his leadership and efforts really to broaden the coalition within the county. I think we've made a lot of progress on that in the last period of time since Measure R was even put in the ballot. I think this is much more of a countywide plan. I think it addresses the mobility needs throughout this county. I am going to ask at the end for just one friendly amendment, really to the Antonovich motion at the very end of item 2, where it says in the October 2009 LRTP, I'd like to add and Measure R at the very end of that, if that's okay with everyone. But then the second point I want to make is we've heard some discussion of it today, and some of this maybe can be used to divide in terms of transit versus highways and so on. We are going to need additional revenues. Measure R and 3010, as envisioned by the mayor, making a strong commitment to the feds for this infrastructure bank that can be used. Maybe it's for the traditional transit programs, maybe for highway, but for both. But I also think within the state of California, we have SB 375, we have AB 32, we have some tremendous policy direction that has long-term implications for how this region is going to develop and what the state needs to do. I think the policy direction has been there. The funding opportunities have not always been. If we can maintain some sense of a real countywide direction here, maintain a sense of collaboration, I think some of us recognize it's going to take more money in terms of to operate the system, whether it be from the fare box, whether it's through private party initiatives and tolls, but also from other state funding initiatives, whether it's other highway taxes, gas taxes, or whatever. There is a role here for the state to play as well. I think we start with the feds, but I think we take this coalition also to the state of California, because I think there are options as well there to make sure that we not only create the jobs envisioned by the mayor and the economic recovery, but also have the funding that will sustain this region and allow us to operate the system as we expand it. So I appreciate the efforts of everyone reaching out to bring us to where we are today.
Seconded. Comments? Mr. Mayor?
I just want to thank Richard Katz, Director Katz, Director O'Connor, who, if you remember, was one of the first advocates for Measure R, Measure Director Du Bois, for her efforts in building on this coalition. Of course, Director Supervisor Antonovich. I think Chairman Najarian said it very well. This has never been done. And I don't think anybody here can say with a straight face that we know it will be done. But when you're looking at a city, a county, a city with a 14.5% unemployment rate, a county with a 13% unemployment rate, when you're seeing the air quality needs of the city that's still almost always at the top in the nation in terms of dirty air, the public health consequences that come with it, the opportunity to create 166,000 jobs in a 10-year period of time, and if we can get support for an accelerated highway program, even more jobs than that, the opportunity to really say to the voters that who voted for Measure R, you know, not realizing sometimes that it was going to take 30 years to do all of this, and wondering, well, what happened with my money? This is a way to bring confidence back and restore trust with the electorate. If we can accelerate this Measure R in this way, people who have already taxed themselves a penny and a half, I don't know of another city anywhere in the country, another county anywhere in the country that's taxed themselves as much for transportation. And so if we could deliver on our promises in the way that we've stated during the arguments on behalf of Measure R, build the coalition that Director Fasana speaks to, I think we got a win-win. Many of you know I spoke with the president on Monday about this, and he acknowledged that this is a template. I can tell you that when I go to Washington and, we're asked for federal funds for transportation or jobs, whatever the issue, almost always we're hearing, well, we've got a spiraling historic deficit and a debt, and this is an opportunity for us to say, well, you ought to reward at a time when there's not a lot of federal money, those cities and counties that have put up their own money. And this, the president said, is a template for what others ought to do. Now, we've got a long way to go. There's not currently a federal financing plan for this. There's TIBIA funds, there's Build America bonds, there's an infrastructure, the possibilities of an infrastructure bank, none of which exist at this point. to perfectly fit this, but I think we're duty-bound to move forward in the way that we are. And I want to acknowledge my colleagues on the board for their effort, and particularly Chairman Najarian, who early on was a leader in this effort. And so my hope is we'll take this on the road with us. All of us work together as we try to convince the federal government that this is the best way to create jobs now, to build infrastructure now, to rebuild our cities and our counties. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Last comment, if I can, before asking for an aye vote on this. Jaime was reminding me of the Alameda Corridor, and you know, we all now look back at the Alameda Corridor as one of the great successes in Southern California as a project that was built on time and on budget and local labor and local hire and really a prototype. You know, when the Alameda Corridor came forward, there was no federal loan program at all. And in fact, the proposal that the Alameda Corridor Board put together and their finance people and took back to Washington, where they ran into some of the same comments we are about, it's never been done before, there's no precedent, we don't know what to do. They funded it, and it became what's now the TIFIA program, which is one of the most popular loan programs the federal government has in terms of transportation. So doing something that's unprecedented is not new for Southern California, and then having the federal government model it for the rest of the country is not new either. We're going to give them another opportunity to learn from the wise investment that, you know, our taxpayers have made. And this is an opportunity. Denny Zane has said it a number of times, the mayor, other people on this board, to do something unprecedented that will change the quality of life in Los Angeles County forever. And, you know, we all do these jobs to try and make a difference and try and do good things. This is of a magnitude and a scale that we usually don't get to make change. And so I appreciate the comments, the vote. We have a long way to go. We have to now get the federal government to do their part. But we're getting a lot of very, very positive feedback from Secretary LaHood to Senator Boxer to Congresswoman Harmon and Adam Schiff and Dreyer and other folks who have all said, you know, they want to help us get this done. So, and then we have to build them, but one step at a time. And, you know, I'd ask for an aye vote. And thank everybody for their help and cooperation on this.
And before we take the vote, I think it can't be overstated the vision and the leadership and the tenacity. Isn't that what the president said, Mr. Mayor? You're a tenacious guy, and clearly this no, that was not the word I believe he used. But I'd like to thank you and Mr. Katz, as well as the other directors whose districts and whose areas of concern do not line up immediately coincidental with transit. We're talking highways, we're talking buses as well, but for coming into the fold and joining this momentum that we're gathering in L.A. County that, I mean, we're hot, folks. When we go to Washington, they're afraid of us when we come. Well, not afraid of me, but when our advocates come down, they know that we're unified, they know that we're pushing, and they know that we're not going to stop till we get our fair share and then some. So I'm really expecting a unanimous vote. It's unfortunate Director Kanabe could not be here. I'm sure he would have loved to participate in this. But are there any objections to the motions and the friendly amendments and the other items incorporated? There are no objections, and this board approves this unanimously. We're going to take one quick item, and then we have to retire to closed session.
You have a presentation over there. Denny Zane.
Mr. Zane.
Well, Move LA would love to provide each of the board members with your commemorative Love Train t-shirts. And we'll pass them around.
Great. Thank you very much. That'll be passed around. Mr. Leahy, what's the item that they want?
34. Item 34.
Okay, I have two Molina motions. One is the 54, the other the 34. Can we do Gloria's preference first? Because there's two. 54.
B7, which is just an appointment to a governance council. I'll just move it now.
Move 57. Appointment to the governance council.
Move the balance of the agenda.
No. 57, the appointment of
Stephen Lai, Rosemead on
Lai to the sector governance council. Seconded by Du Bois.
Yeah.
Any objections? Mr. Lai is appointed. Now 54, which is upon request.
56.
Director, we'll do. We have a lot to do after closed session. Folks.
57.
54, please. Is there a report on that, or would you like to address it directly, Director?
Call for the previous question.
Let's have some quiet. We still have some business to conduct. Your microphone. Your microphone, Director. No.
Hi. Item 54 is a motion that I'd submitted last month, and it basically deals with staying within our projected budget when we have many of these projects in place. And again, I am concerned about cost overruns. And when you have construction authorities that are managed separate and apart from this board that does not make the decisions, very frankly, they can run into cost overrun situations. So all this motion does is basically say that there, if there are cost overruns, they must come out of the funds that are budgeted or projected for that particular project. That's all that this does. So basically, I mean, while it's good for every single project that should be living within its projected budget, we're saying now if there are any overruns, which can happen, that means that they're going to have to look at, they're going to have to look at what else they're adding on, and they might have to redo their budget at the end of the day because of cost overruns or decisions that have been made by that authority. That's all this motion does.
I'll second. I have discussion.
Seconded, and you have the floor.
I just think that the one thing I think that would be appropriate with this motion is I actually think that should apply to projects, whether they're done by a construction authority, by Metro, by anyone. So in some sense, I'm not quite sure why we'd limit it just to construction authorities. It seems to me that it should apply to Metro projects, Caltrans projects, and others from the standpoint in terms of our overall resources and what we have. So
I can accept that if, in fact, that's going to get us to goal. The issue here and the reason that I raised it and did a distinction is the fact that we don't make the decision. We do make the decisions here, but I would agree. Every single project that we carry out should have a budget. We should learn to live within that budget. There's always going to be cost overruns, unfortunately. So what we need to do, if we're going to be talking about the whole, is the money has to come from somewhere, and eventually it might start threatening other projects. So consequently, it should come from its project itself. In other words, if there are those kinds of situations where there's a change in decisions, cost overruns are dictated because they want to change something down the line, it should come out of the budget of the very project that is before it.
And any relief, were this motion to pass, any relief from this motion would be on a case-by-case basis?
Absolutely, and come back to the board.
The board.
It is just a mechanism to create some set of standards, some accountability of any framework within. But I agree it would work well for all of them to everyone live within their budget of these projected numbers. We're going to carry out, if we're successful, with 3010, we're going to carry out many, many projects at one time. I think it is really important that everybody understand that they're in the same situation, and that is to live within the means of that projected budget. I think it'll be helpful for whoever is carrying out that work that they know that they have to be within that. Unfortunately, the standard around here is that all change orders get funded, all change orders move forward, and eventually at the end of the day, there's just not going to be enough money for all of the projects that are there. So right now, while those things may happen, let's look to each project to start funding its own change orders, and if nothing else, before they do anything else, it'd have to come to this board. But right now we're saying to stay within that framework. It's basically a simple accountability guideline for every single project. It doesn't threaten anything.
Greater oversight, more attention to the budgets.
I'm sorry?
Greater oversight, and it would come to the board should there be any issues, and we would have the discretion to deal with it anyway. Any other discussion? Yeah. Director Yevzos.
Is this applying to future projects? Does this apply to future projects? Is that because when you brought it up last month, it was I think you were looking at future projects, future overruns on future projects.
Well, I don't know what you call a future project. Anything that we're doing tomorrow is a future project.
Like a Measure R project.
No, it all projects. He just corrected it. John just added that all projects would live within the framework of their budget.
I guess my question is going forward or retroactive?
What does that mean, retroactive? If you have
a
budget.
What retroactive means?
I know,
say
but if you
a
have a budget.
Let's say there's a project that has already exceeded budget. How would you deal with that project?
Well, I think that's what has to start happening, is that we have to start looking at how it's going to come out of its own budget.
So
that's the danger.
A project that is now under construction that has Expo Phase 1, are you proposing that any overruns in Expo Phase 1 come out of that subregion?
How much is it over the budget?
I don't know, but whatever it is, would you
let's say it's 10% over the budget.
Is it to come out of the subregion?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
It's
about how every single...
It'd be very interesting, because the Expo Phase 1 subregion would affect the Crenshaw Light Rail project. That's the subregion it would come out of.
Or Phase 2.
No, it doesn't come out of Phase 2.
Yes, it does come out of...
It's not in the Phase 2 is not in that subregion, Gloria.
It is. Yes, it is.
Okay, I think this is...
Because if you look at Measure R, when you talked about that project in Measure R, it said from Union Station to Santa Monica.
Yeah, but the Phase 1 and Phase 2 are two separate projects. One of them is in the central subregion, and the Phase 2 is in the western, whatever it's called, subregion. And... maybe it was your intent to try to stick it to the Phase 2 project, but what you're doing is actually affecting projects that include Crenshaw.
I'm going to ask our lawyer.
Los Angeles is in there, same subregion. And
they were prepared with...
And the regional connector and the subway.
All right, then I will ask the question to our lawyer. In Measure R, how is Expo defined?
Which region? Does
no, it... I'm asking how it's defined. I think it's defined as one project.
There isn't a... The expenditure plan says Exposition Boulevard Light Rail Transit. And I'll have to look at the ordinance to get the... Exposition Light Rail Transit Project from downtown Los Angeles to Santa Monica.
That's what it says.
Yeah, but that's not... But the two projects are two...
I understand, but that's the way it's projected. I mean, again, I know you'd like an overlay that's different and make this more intimidating to anyone who is looking at it, but the issue is here, that at this point in time, there are various cost overruns on projects. We know that at the end of the day, and you and I may not sit here at that time, but... people are going to be shortchanged because not all of the project can be carried out. What this exercise does, it basically makes it look at its own budget, its own project budget, which is well defined, and make some changes. Now, again, around here on this board, you can change that at any time. This isn't putting it into any ordinance or any absolute rule. It is creating a mechanism by which there can be more accountability on some of these decisions. When, in fact, we're going into these kinds of problems, we at least know that it's going to come out of the same project pot. Make an attempt to do so. Again, this board can overrule it just as cleverly as Mr. Yaroslavsky is trying to do it now.
Mr. Chairman.
Director Yavzovsky.
Mr. Yaroslavsky isn't trying to do anything now. I just think you need to read, as I did, the text of the motion and see how what the manifestation of it is going forward. This is not, in my judgment, ready for prime time. What I'd like to suggest is that we refer this to the CEO, ask him. The cost containment piece of this is fine. I don't think there's anybody here who would disagree with the need to try to contain costs of all of the projects going forward, including the highway projects, including the rail projects, including everything. But I think we need your input on this, and maybe come back at the next meeting, 30 or 60 days. No project is going to commence construction in the next 30 to 60 days. Come back with a comprehensive addressing of this issue of cost containment and how we can most equitably and rationally do it. And it may include something like this. It may include something different. But I don't think we should. I don't think this motion is ready for prime time. So I would move that as a substitute, that we ask you to come back in 60 days, no more than 60 days, at the June meeting. And give us a recommendation on cost containment on the projects going forward.
Director Molina?
Thank you. I'd like to ask Mr. Leahy, when you look at something like this within the framework of what has been outlined, you and I have talked about this, how would you look at reviewing this?
Well, Director, I think what we would do is sit down and look at a series of management mechanisms for identifying a potential problem early on and for remedying it. We would look at the array of responses to an overrun that might include this as well as other actions. So I think what I'd like to do is to outline how we might approach the problem more globally and come back to you and have that discussion.
Well, again, I think that would be a good thing. I wouldn't have a problem with that. But do you think within the framework of what is proposed here is that before we approve cost overruns, we look at utilizing the funds that are within the project? It's like anyone else. When you build an addition to your house and you budgeted $30,000 or $50,000, you know, all of a sudden the windows cost more, all of a sudden something costs more. Well, what that means is that you're going to have to maybe find a way within a project, because that's all you have. That's all we're saying here is that principle. So I don't mind looking at a mechanism as to how to get there or any kind of alert that we would have when we're getting close to that, as long as that the solution at the end of the day is the same thing. The problem is that what we are doing here collectively is we're not looking to the future. We're utilizing the funds out of other projects that are going to shortchange the projects at the end of the line. That's all I'm saying. So as long as you're willing and understand that it is within the premise of the goal of saying it should come from the very, you know, we're going to have to find looking at options just as we would do. You might have to downscale the kind of windows you're going to get or the kind of additions that you might make to your $30,000 or $50,000 construction. But I don't want it to come back with just a process. I take it a process would always be developed. But I do think it has to be within a framework of at least some accountability. Again, we all know that there are always exemptions that those seven votes can get you anywhere here, but I think that we need to live within a framework of being straightforward and as transparent as possible, not only to us as members of this board, but also to the public who are expecting to utilize those projects once they come into their communities, into their areas, and hopefully those dollars will be there for them as well.
Be pleased to do that.
Director Yaroslavsky.
I think you're going to just come back with not everything's on the table, and you can address it any way you want. I keep my mouth shut. I just don't want your answer to Ms. Molina's question to go unanswered. If this is applying whatever the process is applying to cost overruns on first phase of exposition. And even if you're, if her assertion that Expo is from downtown to Santa Monica is one project, then half of that project and all of the cost, 100% of the overruns are in the central subregion. So so even if you accept that half of it is in the central subregion, half the project's in the central subregion, half of it would come out of that central subregion. Unless the approach is that every cost overrun on every project in the central subregion is going to be paid for by the western subregion, which may have been the intent or may not have been the intent, but it's the consequence. And that kind of debate, that kind of discussion, we ought to know what we're getting into before we approve something and not have debated ex post facto. That's why I asked, does this apply to current overruns that have been generated or future ones? Because I thought when you proposed your original motion that you were looking forward. I would not have had a problem with this if it was going prospective, but if it's going retroactive, then we have a different issue, and it's an equity issue and it's not an equity issue just for one part of the region. It's going to affect everything. It's going to be a chain reaction for everything this agency is doing, and we got to have a more global approach to this. So I'm happy to let him come back with whatever his best thinking
is. Look at Mr. Leahy as project oriented within the project. Right, just as I think that would probably be the best way to do it.
Mr. Chair?
Clarify it for Mr. Yaroslav.
So you can respond to that then, Director Pisano.
Just know, I mean, this is consistent.
I think that would be a catastrophic approach to this. I hope we're not... I think you need to take a broader look at that.
We'll get that, and we'll build on what we put in the goal line agreement, which has a mechanism for identifying cost reductions in the event of an overrun.
I can't hear you.
In the goal line agreement, we have a mechanism in there for identifying cost overruns and for identifying offsetting reductions. We've had a similar dialogue on the regional connector. So we'll give you our best thoughts in 60 days.
And I thought the template what you developed in the gold line was a good template for where we ought to go region wide.
Director Pisano.
Again, just a clarification on the substitute. Does the substitute still apply to all projects for the agency, not just construction authority projects?
I would say so.
Okay, thank you. I'm okay with the substitute.
There are only two authorities. There's a lot more than two projects.
So we'll hear back our direction, Director Du Bois.
Just a quick request of the CEO. We have some projects that consist of multiple public agencies, and that might be something you want to look at, too. There are some that, with goods movement, you've got a national interest there, so I don't know how you fund that.
I'd be as broad in the report as possible to address all these issues, sir. Mr. Leahy. Okay, and that will be the direction of the board on that item with no objections. We are going to recess.
Item 49.
Item 49.
Yes.
You should hear item 49, but we still have quorum and people in the public. For you.
I will decide what the order is. I do have speakers who have put in cards for this item. Dr. Clyde Williams, John Walsh, Arnold Sachs. This is the one we just did.
Dr. Clyde Williams, El Sereno, Northeast LA. Does this indicate that the project management of these projects is inadequate? Sounds like it. For 30 years, including one Red Line Phase 1, I was in construction management. And meet the plan... change conditions, you're going to greatly increase the cost because any good engineer will put the risk factor onto the overall budget, and you will eventually have to be approving here much larger budgets. Even the Shell Oil Company, rather than coming back to the board of the Shell Oil Company, would add 37% to their cost estimates in order to avoid coming back to the board. So project management doesn't sound like you have very much. Thank you.
Thank you, John Walsh.
Hey, Viragos, I couldn't be prouder of Gloria Molina. You're really holding their feet to the fire. Don't listen to this nonsense over here. But the answer to all of this, and incidentally, go to my blog this morning, HollywoodHighlands.org, to find out what really happened between Antonio and the governor and the president of the United States. He apologized for the right-wing gay activist.
But Mr. Walsh, wait a minute. It has to be related to the issue.
Oh, well, the issue is
overruns and.
The issue is simple. We're asking you to sign the petition to, in fact, recall yourself.
Next is Arnold Sachs.
Right here. Arnold Please give Sachs. It to the mayor. He has not seen the recall petition yet. Thank you. HollywoodHighlands.org.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Arnold Sachs. I agree with parts of this motion by Ms. Molina, but what's really interesting is you're setting parameters that the Expo line goes from Union Station to Santa Monica. Yet, when the state legislation set parameters for the blue line to go from Union Station to Claremont, you changed it. You changed it. It's going someplace else. When it was a two-phase project, now it's a three-phase project. You changed it. What happened? Well, you know, that doesn't matter. We just changed it. What happened? Cost more money. Cost overruns? Not really. Just more money. That doesn't mean it's cost overrun. Just means more money being spent. Measured 30-10 projects? You already took out the 12 projects, so now you're going to add more to the mix. And one last thing, Director Katz, you mentioned the Alameda Corridor. I believe the Alameda Corridor was supposed to go to the port of Los Angeles. I don't believe it goes to the port of Los Angeles. So it is, again, an unfinished project.
Thank you. That concludes item 54.
Pacific Coast Highway.
We need to hear item 34 before closed session. 34? Now, we have closed session items, ladies and gentlemen, that have been put off for months to accommodate the schedule. Quiet, please. Please, let's do our business. 34.
Mr. Chair, I would just note that with Measure R and the 3010 program, we have one of the most aggressive capital programs in the United States. Those two measures are outlines.
I'll move it.
Second.
Mr. Chairman.
Director Molina.
Looking at an unbelievable salary of almost $300,000 in this range, $278,000 for a planning person. This is just too much. We are in a very, very tight budget. I'd like to see who you could come up with before you start telling me that I should up it. I think there are a lot of people looking for jobs. There's a lot of people that are unemployed. But if you're going to start at this level, it's much too high. I don't know, because you have a bigger salary that you command. More professionalism, more integrity, and certainly more expertise. So I would suggest that we put this on hold, we see who we can recruit, and see what the situation is with the present salary. This is a huge salary, $278,000.
I believe that we have a very aggressive program that requires top quality people. We should not be focused only on the salary for this one position. We have a $3.5 billion a year budget. We've got to have top quality people if we're going to deliver Measure R in 3010.
The problem with, again, looking to see who you get. I mean, maybe you might come up with a high quality person with that other salary. I just think, Art, you know, these poor folks are going to be living with a potential fare increase. Have other issues. I just think this is an enormous salary, enormous. And I really would rather that you would look, honestly, if you came to me and said, look, I got nobody, or the people that I got are Class B, I would rather that you did that before you go up to this $278,000. Right now you have the latitude of going all the way to $213,000.
Well, the range here being recommended is $190,000 to $278,000. The previous incumbent announced her departure in November. in the 6 months since then, or 5 months, whatever it is, we have been looking around trying to recruit candidates. And there are, you're right, there are people who we can recruit for much less money than this. I would just suggest to you that the capacity, the size of our program, the need to move a program rapidly, nobody else in the country faces a challenge and an opportunity like we face. And this is a very important position that we have to have filled, and we need a top quality person to do this work.
As I understand, the range is what?
190 to 278.
190. So the assumption that we're paying 278, I guess, is just an assumption at this point.
Wait till they bring it to you, Mr. Katz.
Oh, I don't think it makes any sense to put a salary out there. If you hire somebody at the top, they can't go up anywhere, you know, even if it's warranted. So I'd be shocked if they come in at 278.
Watch.
I'll watch.
Much too high. They're not comparable salaries. The city, the county, we have big, big budgets as well, Mr. Leahy. We do a lot of things. The state does. This is a huge salary.
And I would just argue to give the CEO the flexibility. We hired the CEO because we trust the CEO's judgment. I assume that's why we hired him, and we think he knows how to do the job. I don't do planning. I don't attempt to do planning. I don't know how to do what planners know how to do. All I know is that Measure R alone is a $40 billion program, plus Measure A, plus Measure C, plus our state money, plus our federal money, plus New Starts or whatever else we're doing. And I'm sure there are people out there who would work for, you know, a lot less than that range, but I don't know that any of them know how to manage a $40 billion program. And Ms. Molina, I think I was talking. I may not be sure, but I think I was. I'm willing to trust and leave it in the hands of the CEO in the range and trust the CEO's judgment. If we think the CEO does a bad job when his evaluation comes up, we have an opportunity to rectify that. But I don't believe that we ought to be micromanaging the job of the CEO.
Okay. Is there any other discussion? Director Molina.
Mr. Leahy, how many people are you laying off in this year's budget?
We are reducing admin positions to the order of around 240 positions.
239 people are being laid off from this organization, this agency, all of it, again, trying to meet the budget needs. I just want you to be respectful of everybody who works here. Now, again, I know you need the top, but I would suggest, just as a basics of just let's look at the present salary range. Let's see what we bring. If we can't, let's see if people might be willing. I just think that when you're laying off this many people in this organization because of budget cuts, we're looking at fare increases, we're doing other kinds of things, I just think that this is too much of a salary. There is no doubt we're doing important work, but I just think your first attempt as a good manager and CEO would be to try and live within the framework of this limited budget that we have today. Every single position is important and significant, but I just think that this is much too high.
Don?
There's a question, Mr. Katz.
How does the band get calculated?
I'm sorry, sir?
How is the band calculated, determined?
Well, it's based on the Hay study guide system, where we assign points in different categories to different aspects of the work that this position is responsible for. In this case, the magnitude of the work is increasing considerably with the number of projects that we have coming.
You know, I would just say that, you know, we've spent since December thereabouts looking for candidates. We've spoken to any number of candidates. I would add that in addition to having knowledge of planning, and the candidate we have has an extraordinarily strong resume. It's also good to have someone with knowledge of Los Angeles so that we don't have a 1 or 2 year learning curve. We can certainly get somebody less expensive than this, but I don't think we can find somebody as qualified as this candidate is for less than this amount of money, and I say that based on 4 months of attempting to.
Director Pisano, did you have a request?
Yeah, I think we're in a bit of a dilemma because I see the arguments on Major R and I see the arguments over the size of the program, but I also see the other side of it, that a lot of public agencies are downsizing their planning efforts as well. We are somewhat unusual in that respect. So, you know, maybe there's a middle ground. It doesn't sound like anybody can come up with it today, but I think recognizing the sensitivities we have at large, given what we're doing with the agency, maybe there's something else I think a lot of agencies are downsizing at various levels, including their planning functions. So maybe opportunities have opened up with what's happened at the state that weren't even there 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah, I'll just go back. As the maker of the motion, you know, in closing, ask for an aye vote. But it's a range that starts at 190. I assume that the CEO that we unanimously hired has the wisdom to start at the low end and not the top end. If he doesn't, we have more serious problems than this. And would trust the CEO's decision-making on this. And again, we hired somebody because we believe they have the skills to get the job done. We have put a huge job out there. They've tried to fill it since December. It is a range. And I think we should leave it to the CEO to make his best judgment in this case. I'd ask for an aye vote on this.
Okay, well, I think we should... Yeah, nothing else to be said. Why don't we put the machine on? I don't have any cards on this. This was pulled from consent. We did not. Okay. Turn the machine on and let's place our votes.
Cleared.
Rita. Thank you. Let's see what it is. Okay. Item passes. Item passes.
Thank you.
I thought I...
Okay. Will a representative of the bus rider come to the podium? This is my dilemma. We're going to lose the mayor at... soon, and we have very important business in closed session. I'm just not saying that. It's really important. There's a who has a stack of cards for this item? There's a large stack of cards.
As there was for the 3010
motion. I believe you're primarily the principal speakers. Am I mistaken about that?
I am, but everybody else's testimonies are just as important as mine. And so just to say, if you choose to go into closed session, do so. But I just want to let you all know that this is extremely disappointing. It's frustrating. You have us come here every month and you have other politicians, other representatives speak on, and you have people here sitting.
Let me ask a question. This is a very delicate balance between getting everything in or not. We're expecting about a one-hour closed session at the least. How many directors are going to be gone in 1 hour? The mayor?
Is there a way we can do this?
I would like to, but I'd like to hopefully streamline the speaking, the speakers. That's
folks are here for the
moment. I mean, I'm sorry. I can't do that. If you're going to go into closed session, go into closed session. But...
Thomas, perhaps you can better express our position.
It seems to me that flexibility is important and it is useful in this instance. There are those of us who are supportive of this item. We want to move it forward and dispose of it. But the time crunch is what it is, and it would seem to me that you would truncate the public comment section in the interest of getting the matter handled. Otherwise, it may not get handled today and therefore create a situation where we can't do it and then the hearing doesn't take place. That's the practical reality. So what I want to suggest now, Mr. Chair, is that we have a maximum of a 10-minute public comment section on the matter and dispose of it accordingly. That would be my motion. Let's proceed, Mr. Chair. If there's
let's proceed on item 49. I'm going to take 10 minutes of comment. I'm going to try and get as many cards in as possible. Is item 49 posted on the screen? Okay. It's a motion that the board, special board meeting within the next 60 days. Public comments on the July 1st fare increase. First speaker is Esperanza Martinez.
So we just spent a few hours talking about how forces on this board are going to go to D.C., have been going to D.C., trying to get more money for these transit projects, and then a compromise to go back to D.C. and get money for the highway projects. I really want the entire board to look at us right now and tell us, why is there not the same willingness to lift a finger to make sure that the people who voted for you all aren't going to be hit with this fare increase? The bus system is going to see a flattening of it for the next 10 years. Director Katz, at one point you supported no fare increases. At one point you called into question this fare box recovery ratio that this agency is trying to push. So I'm Mayor, Director Huizar, how can you look us in the face and present us with a motion that basically says to people, we want you to come to this boardroom, spend your entire day here, spend 4 hours of your day here, to basically be told that we're going to raise your fare irregardless of what you say. That's a farce. That's not what we asked for. We asked for a public hearing. We want a public hearing now, and we want to stop to this fare increase.
Thank you. Then other speakers. Mr. Klugman is after that. And then I'll take two more bus riders, and then I'll take Mr. Walsh, and then two more bus riders, and then Mr. Sachs.
Francisca Porches with the Bus Riders Union. I'm here mostly to warn you legally, actually. We're very concerned. You put out a 2007 Title VI, quote-unquote, investigation in 2007, and you're claiming that that's actually going to fulfill your 2010 obligations. Well, we actually very much disagree with that. We think there does need to be an investigation. Things have changed since 2007. There's a big economic crisis that's happening not only in Los Angeles, but across the country. The unemployment rate in 2007 was 5% in May of 2007. We now have a 13.2% of unemployment rate in Los Angeles. Conditions are different. 88% of the bus riders are people of color. You need to analyze what less discriminatory alternatives there are to this fare increase and actually have a public process and a standalone vote and not just adopt it during the budget. So I'm here to tell you that you usually get pretty bad advice from your attorneys. It's happened for the last 15 years. Please look at this documentation right.
Klugman.
You have proposed to hopefully in 10 years get new things that will help public transit in Los Angeles County. But in the meanwhile, you don't want to lose ridership that you have now. You're hoping to increase ridership. There are ways to do this without, I mean, you might do it by charging $1.50 for one fare, but keep the daily thing at $5 and put four fares on there. Then after the four fares, you'd have to pay the additional. There's subtle ways to do this that's not going to keep people from you. And I keep telling Mr. Fasano, they're going to buy those Ford Crown Victorias, man, those 1984s that get 6 miles to a gallon, pile in there and go to work and back and not take public transit. Makes sense, would you?
Thank you. Two bus rider union members, any way you'd want to pick?
My name is Crystal McMillan, and I'm here to speak against the proposed fare increase. The MTA staff keeps talking about decisions made in 2007. I can say after spending nearly two years unemployed, the city, the economy, and the people of Los Angeles are not living the way they were in 2007. Every day I go past empty storefronts and moving trucks, I see the Los Angeles of 2010. We are not going to find the path to economic recovery by causing irreparable harm to the 88% of bus riders who are, by your own definition, profoundly poor. SDA monies are set to come back. We ask the board not to approve a budget that includes a 2010 fare increase and direct staff to present alternatives to this policy. Thank you.
Thank you. One more bus rider.
It's Barbara Lott Holland, co-chair of the Bus Riders Union.
In 2006, the MTA's attorney stood before Judge Hatter and said to the Bus Riders Union and 450,000 dependent transit riders in Los Angeles County not to fear. There will be no attempt to destroy the gains of the consent decree. And here we are. Look at the record. MTA has chipped away at the civil rights gains year after year. June 2007, just months after the decree ended, MTA attempted to raise the fares by 42%. They succeeded in raising it by 20%. April 2008, MTA cut 215,000 service hours. Today, May 2010, MTA is proposing another 20% fare increase and another 388,000 service hours cuts. If this vote goes through today, you will have successfully cut half of the increases that was gained by the consent decree. This is a direct attempt to destroy the gain
and to turn back the clock to a racist transit policy.
Thank you. Mr. Sachs. Two more bus riders, then Mr. Walsh, and then I'm going to go to
Thank you,
Kimberly.
Arnold Sachs. On your consent calendar today, on item 42, you have raised the universal fare system from $119 million to $123 million, and it stinks. The tap card stinks. It's still broken, and yet you want to raise fares. You have a over 25% pay grade increase for one employee, and yet you want to raise fares. You need to get more people on the bus. I appreciate the fact that costs have gone up. There should be some kind of fare increase gradually implemented. But to put it on the backs of people at one time is ridiculous. You want more people using your universal system, all the transit system. So you want to maybe raise your easy access, but $14 or $12, that's way too much. You need more riders, not less.
Thank you. To bus rider members, and let us know your name so we can recognize.
Buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Rosa Miranda y soy miembro del sindicato de pasajeros.
Good afternoon. My name is Rosa Miranda and I'm a member of the bus riders union.
Estamos decepcionados por la moción introducida la semana pasada en el comité de operaciones de tener una reunión especial en vez de una audiencia pública legítima.
So we're extremely disappointed with the motion that was introduced at the operations committee last week that calls for a special board meeting and not a legitimate public hearing.
Creemos que la intención de avisarle a la gente que quieren aumentar las tarifas es un intento superficial que no escuchará a la gente.
So we believe that the move to hear from people and then tell them that you're going to raise their fares regardless is a very superficial attempt to try to hear from the public.
No es lo que queremos. Necesitamos una audiencia pública con debate público y un voto por la mesa en contra de la alza de tarifas.
This is not what we've been asking for. We want a public hearing with a public debate and an actual vote on the proposed fare increase.
Pedimos que el personal dé soluciones que no causen daños a los pasajeros y lo que se enfrentan en este momento de crisis.
So we ask for the staff, for the board to direct the staff to present alternatives to a $24 million fare increase that will not create irreparable harm.
Señor Presidente Najarian le dijo a nuestros representantes del sindicato de pasajeros que usted haría algo en esta mesa y hasta el momento esperamos que hoy tome liderazgo por pedir una audiencia pública legítima.
Chair Najarian, you told BRU representatives that you also were interested in trying to move a public hearing, so we look to you to take leadership today to make this happen.
Nosotros no nos quedaremos con los brazos cruzados. Mientras sigan violando nuestros derechos civiles como agencia pública, tienen el deber y la obligación de dar mejorías en el sistema de transporte o quieren repetir nuestra lucha de derecho mutuo, de decreto mutuo de 1994.
So we're not going to sit back and watch you violate our civil rights. As a public agency, you have an obligation to provide public transportation, or do you want to recreate the same conditions that led to our 1996 lawsuit? Thank you.
BRU speaker.
Hi, my name is Carla Maria Aguilar. I'm a member of the Bus Riders Union and the Sokogaka International, and I'm currently a student in East Los Angeles Community College. Many adults today say the youth are apathetic. Unfortunately, we are growing up in a society that is lacking jobs and has cut funding for education while the price of living keeps going up. How can we become capable individuals in these circumstances? A public hearing must take place to give hope to the youth who will experience irreparable harm if the fare increase is passed. Mayor Villaraigosa, I know you can make this happen. Don't let the youth down. While attending Santa Monica College, like many, I couldn't afford the $62 month pass at the beginning of each month. I would get the day pass, which left me paying about $100 a month. I was forced to go to ELAC, although it has no department for my major because of this of the cost. ELAC has a student tap card that experienced an increase from $15 to $20 recently without warning. This is unacceptable. Let us have a public hearing and give hope to the hopeless. Thank you.
Thank you, John Walsh. Following John Walsh is Kimberly Richards.
John Walsh blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. It takes 60 days notice for a public hearing. It takes 24 hours for a special meeting. This is a farce. Now, do you want these people to, you want, the respect goes that way. You're supposed to respect them. I remember when bus riders union people were taken out and beaten in this meeting. Beaten. And you know that, Antonio. Now they respect. But you want to shake your fist at Antonio, and you want him to respect you. You shake your fist with a recall position. Right, left, and middle. We're forming the way they did in Nazi-occupied Germany. Right, left, and middle. To get rid in Germany, in France. Right, left, and middle. And I'm shaking my fist with a recall position, petition. And we're going to fold it four ways for you, the mayor. We're recalling you. And you can disrespect us. Don't worry. The Bus Riders Union will respect you.
Kimberly Richards will be the last speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, directors. Kimberly Richards, Public and Legislative Affairs Director, Southern California Transit Advocates. A public hearing is not necessary. That is our official position. As such, we support the alternative motion that was brought via the Operations Committee last week. The Bus Riders Union claims that the fares are going to be outside of reality. The reality is, they already are. This agency has one of the lowest fares in the country already. Even after the July... Do not interrupt me, Ms. Martinez. I did not interrupt you. Even after the July fare increase goes through, it will cost 75 cents more to ride San Diego's system, a peer agency not far from us. Please go forward with the alternate motion. Thank you.
I'm closing public comment on this item and open it to the directors for discussion or a motion. Is there a second? Item 49, special meeting within the next 60 days. There's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection to that? Okay, Mr. Leahy, you'll set the meeting and give adequate notice.
Correct.
Thank you. That item passes. Recessing to close session. Session, an open session after a closed session. We have a few items left.
Chairman, I'll move item 46.
Second.
D6. And are there any speakers on 56? Arnold Sachs.
The homeless
center. Dr. Clyde Williams. Okay. No speakers. We have a motion and a second. Are directors happy with that? Okay.
Do we have enough out here?
One, two, three, four, five.
Yes, we do. We have seven. Okay, with no objection, 56 is approved. Anything we left off?
I'll do that report.
Are we going back to close or we're done? I think we're done. We're done. You have a closed session report, Mr. Safer.
The MTA board met in closed session and took the following reportable actions. On item 58A1, Clemente versus MTA, the board approved a settlement in the sum of $500,000. 58A2, Shikarichi versus MTA, the board approved a settlement in the sum of $250,000. 58A3, Shura Brenikov versus MTA, the board approved a settlement of $225,000. And on item 58A5, Sanchez versus MTA, the board approved a settlement of $875,000. The board took no other reportable action.
Oh, we're adjourned. We're adjourned.
Let's see what we did. 47.
It was on consent.
47 was on consent. It was approved.
You put a light on outside that say coming back to closed session, so we can be aware.
Thank you, glad we waited. That's right.